Thank you.
Chair and Tom, we are ready, and the room is unmuted, and we are live and broadcasting.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Let me just put on my eyes real quick. Here we go. I can see now. Welcome to our CBAC Executive Committee meeting on this wonderfully hot summer late afternoon, early evening, Monday, June 29, 2026 at 4:30 p.m. here at beautiful Fantasy Springs Casino. It's Special Event Center. And I'd like to call this meeting to order. And if we could go ahead and have roll call, please.
City of Rancho Mirage?
Present.
City of Desert Hot Springs? City of Coachella?
Present.
City of Palm Springs? City of Indio? 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians?
Here.
Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indians?
Present.
Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians? Agua Caliente Band of Cahuillans? City of Indian Wells? City of Cathedral City? City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of La Quinta?
Present.
City of Blythe?
Here.
Riverside County?
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. And just so folks know, we have Chairman Mike as well. That's here through Zoom. And he's also got some representatives here, just in case. So if we don't mind, folks, just go ahead and please rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Can I have Mr. DeConnick lead us in the pledge, please?
May you please follow me for our great flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Madam Clerk, our Executive Director, is there any modifications to the agenda?
There are none.
Any conflicts of interest disclosures? Seeing none. Moving on, item number two, public comments on agenda items. Do we have any?
No. No, Chair.
All right, we're moving right through this. Item number three, Executive Director announcements.
Oh, just to note for those that are going to speak during this meeting, hit the power button locating at the base of the podium. You will see the red light go on, and then you could, of course, power off. And just to note, of course, the General Assembly is right around the corner in the larger part of the event center to the left and to the left. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And I have no comments or announcements at this time. Consent calendar, item number four, A through N. Are there any to be pulled by anyone?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yes, sir.
Pull C for discussion.
Any other consent calendar item?
Just a comment on I.
I?
Thank you.
Got it. Any others? Nothing by our chairman as well, I assume?
Yes.
So moving forward, can I have a motion to approve?
Second, Lakeitha.
All right. Hopefully you got that. Everyone in support, please say aye. Any in opposition? Chairman Mike?
Aye.
Thank you, sir. Let's go ahead and move towards consent calendar once again, when item C. And that was pulled, I believe. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Topher Taylor, Indian Wells. Just looking at item C, I wasn't here last year, don't have the context, but it's you're in a beautiful office. I've been there. You have it's a big number, like 10% of the operating budget. And at a time when CVAG is looking for money and concerned about its fiscal health, I would strongly move for us to consider delaying this to a future time as to when we have visibility into our fiscal responsibility. So that would be my motion and consideration for people to discuss.
And if I might share, Erica, I think you put together the staff report. Maybe you could provide some background.
There is a motion on the floor. October Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Chair, committee members. Mayor, thank you for the question. So as you might remember, this item did come before you about a year ago. Yes, we are in a beautiful building, but we're also in two very distinct suites. CVAG moved into the building. We knew right away that that was not going to be quite the space we needed. We had an opportunity to take on the suite next door at the same rate, which was authorized in what we did. Much of this is about creating efficiencies that we, right now, our staff leaves one suite, literally exits into the lobby, goes into the next suite. We're looking to create some flow and take down some walls. This would create additional offices. Last year, we also did a workplace violence study that showed some vulnerabilities. This is accounted for as well as part of this remodel. So yes, the number is big. It's certainly bigger than what we had anticipated last year. We hoped to be under construction last summer. As the staff report notes, there were some challenges with the original estimate. We did factor in some additional money into the budget that you all were being asked to approve to cover the additional costs. We did an entire rebid twice. We worked with our architect quite closely to try to make this work. And certainly defer to the committee. I will say that we've waited a year and the number keeps getting bigger. Some of these bids came at close to $900,000. So just as you've all seen, when we don't move ahead with a project, that's certainly the risk. Be happy to address any questions.
And if I just might add, and I do appreciate the comments, and at a time where Tom Kirk is complaining about cash flow all the time, and certainly our transportation cash flow, it is a significant issue. This is a separate pot of funding. Certainly some transportation dollars would be supporting any kind of improvements in the office, but the improvements in the office come from our general fund and are spread across all of the agencies and department, for what it's worth.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I respect and appreciate your thoughtful reply, but again, I don't see any imminent danger to the staff in the city of Palm Desert and in the offices and where you are. And I think they're beautiful. And I think this particular expense is extremely high based on the current fiscal condition of CVAG. So I have a motion on the table. If somebody wants to support it, great. If not, we move on.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Peter.
Erica, is there not any TI money in this? I mean, putting $600,000 into the thing, there's not more that they could put into it?
There is some TI money. I think it is based on the second suite. So when we did move into the first suite, you all might remember, we took it over with all the, it was there. We took over all the debt. We didn't buy a bunch of desks. Our staff moved over a weekend and we held an executive committee meeting on Monday. We closed the office for one day. The only thing we really bought for the new office was chairs. And there was some minor improvements done when we moved into the original suite, which also were covered by TI improvements. That mostly included a kitchen that was outdated. There is a little bit of revenue for the TI improvements related to the new suite.
Thank you.
Any other discussion items? Yes.
Can you tell me what is the remaining amount of time left on the lease?
Long. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. We originally entered into a 10-year plus lease. It was a few years ago. Oh, I have this date somewhere. I want to say were there like another 7 with 2 extensions of 5 years each.
Okay. And from what I've heard, One Alpa Say is under new owners.
It is.
And that's been seamless?
It has been. It did not affect our lease or the TI improvements. And if I remember correctly, you got about a $20,000 credit or something for the TI for moving into new space.
A little bit more than that, but yeah, yes.
Of which we spent it on an architect mostly and the permitting.
Thank you.
Any other discussion items?
I guess if you look at the balance of the move to Rancho Mirage, the components that we were able to maximize there from the Palm Desert building, you know, I feel like it's amortized over enough years of the term and the options that from a security standpoint, it makes sense. Even I understand the cash flow piece because we have been talking about it with them on the finance committee. But I'll support that. Just make a new motion that we approve item number six.
And I'll second.
Okay, so are there any more discussion? Is there any more discussion on the first motion? Did you want to say something?
2038 with the extensions would be our.
Okay, seeing that there's no discussion, is there a second on the first motion? If there isn't, it dies. And I understand Ms. Evans made the motion to approve as recommended by staff. And Ms. Mulatto, is that you?
It's the second.
Okay, you did the second. Okay, let's go ahead and call the roll. And I'll just go ahead and just state it out loud. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against? And Chairman Mike?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item passes. Next pulled item is aye, and I believe that was by Mayor Soto.
Yes, just a quick comment. Completely recognize the value of efficient digital tools for law enforcement, especially along the CV length, which impacts all the cities. And it's a shared responsibility and a shared need. I just wanted to flag making sure that there's consistent data protections and safety protections on the data that and videos that are captured, given that there's multi-city jurisdiction. And just wanted to flag as well that the city of Palm Springs has developed extensive protocols, first for the flock cameras, but now it's been extended around our other tools in our real-time intelligence center. And so I know the Palm Springs Police Department is looking forward to really leading the development of the Coachella Valley Real-Time Intelligence Center. And I think this is a good opportunity to make sure that making the tools that we're using for law enforcement are consistent and safe across all the cities. And so it's 144 handful of cameras, but I'm looking forward to that being a part of it as well.
May I, Mayor, thank you for your email. Jonathan, can you address the points?
Sure. Thank you for the email. And we are coordinating with Palm Springs Police Department, as you mentioned, with the real-time crime center, are developing umbrella policies that all the other departments that are participating are going to be consistent with. And we'll be following up with both Indio and Cathedral City PD as we move forward.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was just going to say, I know that Cathedral City has put a lot of effort into that. And it sounds very similar because it started with the block cameras, and as those have grown and we have added other cameras, including the drones, that we have worked with our police department to strengthen the policies, and that's been very important to Cathedral City also. So thank you.
Ms. Savage?
Yeah, are you collaborating with Riverside Sheriff as well? I know that Rancho's leading the pack when we're working on drones as well, eventually getting across the contract cities.
We've communicated with Riverside County Sheriff. They weren't part of the original pilot program, but we're open to still discussing with them. I think they're proceeding down a different path with a different type of drone, but we'll certainly be willing to work with them.
But could Mr. Chairman, Jonathan, how do you stop to make sure that we don't invade people's privacy? Like along Indio, there's homes abutting up against it. And we're going to have a lot of residents that are going to be concerned about a drone flying over there that can then be utilized if they're shooting into somebody's backyard. It could be personal. It could be even them doing something wrong. But you're kind of invading their space because you're not going there to look at that property. But it could be used to look at what they're doing. How do you make sure that we're sticking where it is? And how do we get to the residents to make sure they know that this is what it is? Because when you see a drone flying over, most people aren't going to pay attention. They'll see the drone flying over their house, they're going to say, what is this? Then we're going to start getting calls. People are going to say their privacy has been invaded. People are taking pictures. It's got to be communicated out. We're going to do this.
Sure.
Any other discussion on the item?
Pardon me?
Is there any other discussion on the item? Yes, Crusader.
Just a question on kind of how we arrived at the number of drones. I think there were five contemplated here. Because just as a footnote, the Cove communities are looking at a drone program too, and we're very excited about the use of drones in all of our daily lives, especially with regard to safety and security for our residents. So a lot of drones being purchased throughout the Coachella Valley. Just trying to understand this particular acquisition.
Sure. So during the pilot program, we worked with each of the agencies to basically work that out to see how many drones that they may need. Each drone has a certain time of flight and has a certain range. They have 20 minutes of flight time, and based on where they're launched, how long can they be in the air, and what zone or area can they reasonably cover? So in Palm Springs, they have two links of CV Link. They have a northern link and then a southern link. So they're requiring about three drones to handle that area. In Cathedral City, they started with one drone, but because of the high winds there and what they experienced during the pilot program and with the airport, another second drone strategically placed on their west boundary would help them respond. So they need two. And then in Indio, they're looking at approximately two to three, and they've just started their flight this weekend. I think they got the program in place. And so they're working that out. So we've purchased enough to provide them with three, depending if they need it, but it's all based on the range and testing. And then each police department has developed their protocols as far as privacy and data. You mentioned a question about looking into people's backyards. I mean, when they fly out, their cameras aren't facing down in people's backyards. They don't look down until they need to. And there's other very specific policies that the police department could speak to with those. And then, as you mentioned, if there's an education program or outreach that needs to happen, we'd be happy to work with the police departments to do that.
Any more discussion on the item?
So the Cove communities also discovered, to our surprise, that in the bidding process, there were certain pieces of equipment that were approved by Riverside County Sheriffs and certain that weren't. Have you gone through that process now? And this has all kind of been vetted by the various agencies?
Well, the equipment that we're using, those drones that Palm Springs, Cathedral City, and Indio are using, are approved to be used for police work.
Okay.
And the drones that they're using, the sheriff is using, are a little different. And so it's they use, I think it's with Flock or it's some different kind of lease, where the DJI drones that we purchased have been approved, and then those drones we own, and then there's just a licensing fee every year. And so it's just a different model. So it's not really apples to apples comparison.
Mayor Milano? Any more discussion items? Any more discussion on this item? All right. Is there a motion? Second? Got it. All those in favor say aye. Anyone opposed? Mr. Figueroa, that's one. And hang on. And Chairman?
Aye.
All right. Measure passes with one nay. And that was Mr. Figueroa. Okay, moving on to item number five. And this is our CVAC budget for fiscal year 2026-2027. Claude is obviously here, but we've heard this already a few times. And he's here to answer any questions if you happen to have any. Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion.
I just want to say, Claude, thank you for the link. Really great work on having it accessible and legible for people to be able to use. What software do you use for the?
It's called UNIS Solutions. They have a program called Questica.
Okay, yeah. I like it. Very, very informative and easy to use. So
thanks for the feedback.
And with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there any more discussion on the item?
Pete will second and say thanks to Claude and the team for getting it all done.
It's a pleasure.
There's a motion and there's also a second. Is there any more discussion on the item? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against? Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Okay.
Right. You're done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Claude. Moving on to CBAG officer rotation for fiscal year 2026-27. That's Mr. Tom Kirk.
Yeah, this is a sort of automatic policy based on CBAG Executive Committee direction in past years. It is the turn of the City of Blythe to chair CBAG once again, and the turn of the City of La Quinta to serve as vice chair. And I say the city because that's the way this works. If the city representatives change during the course of the year, it is the new city representative that is the chair and vice chair of CBAG. Any questions?
Seeing none, with that being said, I'll make the motion. Just a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against? Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
All righty. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Moving on to item C, Interstate 10 Monroe Street Interchange Project, Proportionate Share Study, and that's by Mr. Randy Bowman.
Good afternoon. Just to put it into perspective, the Monroe Interchange is here on the screen, and then here's a picture depicting the limits of the project's construction footprint. Here's where we are with the project schedule. The plan specs and estimate have been approved, and has the right-of-way certification been approved. The county expects to advertise the project at the end of the summer and expects to begin construction in January of next year. This slide summarizes the CVAG regional funding that's been committed to the project to date. Amendment 8 was approved by the Executive Committee back at the end of April of this year. The total CVAG funding into the project right now is $68 million plus. The project estimate of cost is up on the screen. It's currently $181 million is the estimate of cost. That's all phases of construction plus the phases of development. And this number is an estimate. As many of you are aware, staff bids out projects, they get bids, and then the bids are compared to the engineer's estimate. So the next step is to receive notification from the county that they've got an apparent low bidder. Let's talk about why we're here today, which is to request approval of a proportionate share study of the local share, which is 25% of the cost of the project after all of the external funds have been paid. The travel demand model is called RIVCOM, and it's maintained by WRCOG, but it was out of date. And so we first updated the traffic model to present day, which was 2023. We have actually, this is going to serve as the basis for our TPPS project, which is ongoing, as well as the VMT study, which was one of the items, I believe, that was on the consent agenda for approval. There is a countywide update. So we have actually got ourselves ahead of the rest of the county. Coachella Valley model has been updated. The rest of the county west of us will be updated next year. And the socio-demographics that are used in the model update come from a variety of sources, not only the American Community Survey, which is the in-between the decennial census, but also certainly engaging with the city staff members, jurisdiction staff members on trends for development, expectations for development. So what we did is we updated the base year from 2018 to 2023. There were extensive land use updates that were provided by the various jurisdiction planning and public work staff. We also validated the results of our model runs. It's always good to test the theory against actuals, and I have a slide on that. And we reviewed the study in really two forms with agencies. We provided a copy of the study to the jurisdictions, public works and city engineers back in April, asked for comments. We really received no substantive comments on the study document. And then subsequent to the Transportation Committee, we corrected some numbers in the study and provided that revised study to the agencies to review. We also discussed this with the ad hoc committee at its last meeting. So this is the approach that you take. You calculate the trips in the model, and you identify where they come from and where they're going to. And if they originate from outside the Coachella Valley and don't end up in the Coachella Valley, those trips are deducted from the traffic model, since the traffic model looks at not only Coachella Valley, but the surrounding environs. And then we hone in on the trips that are attributed to either the origin or destination of a jurisdiction within CVAG. And that is used as the basis for calculating the percent share of traffic volumes. So on the left is the base year, the 2023 updated model. And these are the percentages of trips by jurisdiction from top to bottom. On the right-hand side, there is big data that's out there that tracks our cell phones, tracks our vehicles, and that data is aggregated by a variety of sources. This source is called Replica, and they provide real-time, after the fact, and as well, data on vehicle trips, where they're going to, where they're coming from. And we thought that that would be a very good comparison, a reality check, if you will, to the traffic model. And we saw a very good correlation between actual data and the traffic model. So that that gives our team a lot of confidence in the model. So as I mentioned, the base year was updated to 2023. And then we have a horizon year. Many of your planners and public works directors talk about horizon years way off in the future. What do we want to be when we grow up? So the horizon year is 2050. And this also comports with what WRCOG is going to be doing for the RIFCOM model for the rest of the valley. We've been tightly coordinating with them on the rest of the county, I should say. The opening year of the project is slated for 2029. So it's an approximate 2-year construction period for the interchange. And the opening year was selected as the basis for calculating the proportionate share, because if you think about it, at the time that the interchange opens, we have a pretty good idea what land use growth and changes are going to be over the next, say, 6 years. But we don't have as good an idea of what we're really going to see having been developed in 2050. So 6 years out from the base year is the opening year, and that was the basis for calculating. So this table, if you squint hard, you can see three sets of numbers. The leftmost set of numbers is our existing year percentage of trips. The horizon year, the farther out, the crystal ball, if you will, of growth is the far right column. And then 2029, 6 years into this traffic modeling projection, that's the middle column. And that's the column that has the numbers that were used and as the basis for this study and the recommendation for the proportionate shares. So if you take that middle column and then you apply it to the current estimate of cost for the project, $181 million, minus all of the external funding that's been amassed, minus CVAG's 75% share of that product, is about $22 million. That's the current estimate of the local share, the 25% of the cost of the project after external funds are removed and CVAG funding is paid for. And we simply applied that $22.4 million to the percent trips that's in the middle column. That applies then the numbers that are on the far right side. So the next steps, today we're here requesting approval of the proportionate share study. The step after that is this fall early fall, the county will be bidding and intends to award the construction project. And then following that, we'll have better numbers and we'll come back and we'll amend agreements and sub-agreements with the various agencies to share out this 25% local share of the project. So recommendation before you, here to answer any questions.
Mr. Mayor Taylor.
So the brief that we were given said that the numbers, usage numbers from the various cities hadn't changed since we were presented this a few weeks back. I believe in our previous conversation, there were a couple of challenges, specifically Rancho Mirage, as I recall, to the numbers being used and their amount that was owed. Are those numbers that we're looking at today consistent with the ones we've seen in the past as stated, or have they been adjusted? I had thought they'd been adjusted.
Awesome. The total numbers are the same. There was an error that the consultant identified.
The total number is the same. There was an error that the consultant identified. We sent that out to the committees, but the overall amounts and the methodology is exactly the same.
Okay. So it's the methodology that's the same and the total amount that's the same, but there was nuances from city to city are slightly
different. Yeah, they sorted the wrong column alphabetically the wrong way.
Right. And just out of curiosity, we're seeing a six-fold increase from the city of Indian Wells in these numbers. And I'm just curious as to how that was extracted. Now, people in this room may think that I don't go to Indio or Coachella very often, but I got to tell you, that could be my number. I mean, I could actually be increasing the total number of road trips from Indian Wells East. So, but I would love to get some feedback on that.
And the question is, your city of Indian Wells number went up sixfold.
Yeah.
From the transportation committee.
Yeah.
To this.
From 23 to 29.
Yeah.
In that slide.
I see what you're saying. From the base level.
From the base level.
All right. Yep. Randy, can you explain that?
Are you referring to this slide here? The sure. First column versus yes. the so this is a projection of 27 years into the future, is the far right column over the leftmost column.
So, but from 23 to 29, which is 6 years, it's going up six times. So I'm just curious. No one else has that kind of increase.
And that's the model is based on, again, the demographics that we get of not only from the American Community Survey, but also the land use projections that we get from all the jurisdictions. So if you think about it, you know, if you step back and don't look at jurisdictional boundaries, resident goes from one part of town to another part of town, and you add to that the growth, more houses, more commercial, etc.
I heard the explanation.
Yeah. And so, yep.
Okay. We have a very, you know, defined population. Like, it's not going to grow, right? So I'm just curious.
If you think it's a proportionate share, so maybe some cities might change over time okay. because maybe Eastern Valley, there's growth over here, and somebody who was making a trip through Monroe before might not be making it in the future. And so it's a proportionate share. We're not saying that the number of residents in Indian Wells is going to grow by six times. It's more like the proportion.
I understand.
Madam Mayor Malato?
We did challenge the numbers and we were concerned, learned that there was an error, and we will not hold up the process. But we are, you know, our city manager had questions about the methodology. We'll look at that. Right now, we're here to approve this.
Any discussion on this item? Yes, go ahead, Mr. Sharif.
All right, Mr. Bowman, can we look forward to this methodology and formulas being used in the future? I'm thinking, of course, ahead to Portola. And so it seems to me like the lesson here is go out and get as much grant funding as you possibly can. How long has this method or this formula been used, and it's working and it's worked for years and we can anticipate it working moving forward? Is that correct?
Yeah. The RIVCOM traffic model has been in use for quite some time. It actually was preceded by this other model called RIVTAM, but that model, the use of the model has been used for many, many years. And the last time we were discussing as a CVAG body was about, 13 years ago, the Jefferson Interchange. And this methodology was pretty much the same, using the RIVCOM model.
Any other discussion on this? Is there a motion for the recommendation? Yeah. Andrew makes the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. Rancho Mirage.
Rancho Mirage is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone in opposition? Chairman Mike?
Aye.
And that seems to be unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to letter D, City Sync impact on regional traffic flow and major traffic events. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. Chris Gunterson, CV Sync Program Manager, here to give you a brief update on the project and the program. Just a quick jump back in time. Phase one was three corridors, including Highway 111, Washington Street, and Ramon Road, 143 different signals. And that project was completed a little bit more than 2 years ago. And now we are full steam ahead on phase two. Phase two of the project is 18 more corridors. The total number of signals when it's all said and done is going to be north of 500. I think the exact number is going to be around 505, but there's some new signals being built around the valley that will be incorporated into the program. During the middle of phase two, we had to uproot and move from Palm Desert over 2,000 palms to move the traffic office. That was very exciting. And so we're hoping that things will go well and that we'll be able to complete the project later this fall. This is what we're looking at right now. If you've ever been to the traffic office, this is our main software that monitors all of the signals. And so there's about 505 squares up there. What's the difference in the colors? Green would mean it's synchronized, that the corridors are moving platoons of cars from point A to point B along that corridor. If they're yellow, they're in free operation, which means they're basically in free demand. So as cars pull up, as the time has been allotted, it will go ahead and give a call to that car. The benefit of having them synchronized, there's a lot less stop and go. So one example of that is during this project, our contracted traffic engineer, we chose to focus on one corridor to give an example of how it's benefiting the valley. And this is probably the most dramatic. That's why we picked it. And that would be the corridor of Date Palm Drive. And basically all the way from the freeway to Highway 111, what we did is he drove it before and did several timing runs, different times of day, different days of the week. And the average travel time for that was just under 12 minutes. So it was, if anybody's driven Date Palm before, it was quite a task to get up and down there. Afterwards, we're down to just about seven minutes. That's a 35% reduction in time. You take into account the less wear and tear in the car. And so it was very dramatic. Now, why is it so dramatic? Because that corridor has never been synchronized before. So you're not going to always see that huge of a decrease in time, travel time. But if anybody's driven it since then, it's actually quite nice. It's very nice. So one of the other benefits that we were not fully expecting with the CV Sync program is the management of events and festivals. We got quite good at managing tennis. We got quite good at managing Ironman when it was still along the main roads. Now we're turning our sights towards the festivals. And I wanted to introduce you to the traffic team, the CV Sync team, because they devoted 3 weeks of their life to going in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and sometimes staying till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Quite a long haul. So on the left is Armando Cabrera, whom we stole from La Quinta. I was stolen from La Quinta. Chris Wiggins is next to him. And he used to work for the city of Indian Wells and then went for a private inspection firm. And we stole him from that inspection firm. We like to steal good employees. Mark Lancaster in purple there, he's our deputy director. He has done very well at directing the team. He's given us a lot of encouragement for those long days, long nights. And of course, you've got myself. And because we're going to a festival, no festival is complete without a rock band picture. So we hope to do this and make this an annual picture for the festivals. But I really want to express my appreciation for this team. They have done a fantastic job and they did it without any complaining, which is awesome. So what have we done in the past couple of years? Well, the first year, which was year and a half ago, 2 years ago. The circles highlighted in red there, those are the only intersections that we really had any contact with during the first time we were out there. A little bit limited. We really didn't do much. Most of it was just watching, taking notes, helping out when we could, and then reporting that information to the event planners and the sheriff's department, police departments. So with last year, our outreach was quite different. We had all of Avenue 48, all of Jefferson, and all of Monroe. So the number of signals increased quite a bit. And what made that better? What worked about that? So you have all of these people coming in. The challenge is that when you have that many people coming in that quickly, how do you get them into the event as safely as you can? And by working with our contractor traffic engineer, who was not in the picture, Jim Forbes, he helped us out considerably. And what we did is we worked in setting up event synchronization plans. And we were able to move large volumes of cars into the event significantly better than last year. I'm sure everybody can agree. Now, unless you were right around the event, you pretty much didn't see what was going on because it was basically operation was normal. Unless you got right in around the event, that's when you started noticing the cars. There were on occasion where things got backed up to Highway 111 or over to Jefferson, we were able to help manage that and work with the police departments and the parking people to get everybody in faster. What didn't work or what needs to be improved? As with every big event, we're looking at better communication. And just as an example, what I mean by that, as we're monitoring stuff, we're helping traffic move through, we're adjusting the timing as much as we can within our parameters. And a deputy or a police officer may pull up to that intersection and say, oh, I need to clear this. So he'll go to the cabinet and he'll either put the signal into red flash or take it over with what we call a pickle switch or a manual control switch. And that's okay. It would just be nice if he told us. So we're sitting there trying to manage the traffic and all of a sudden we have no control. So that's one effort. The more important part is when he's done, we may have specific timing in there from when there was a lot of traffic. And if he walks away and puts the signal back, now we've got the wrong timing in there. And so that can cause a little bit of grief, if you will. So what needs improvement is communication with the law enforcement. We will have meetings. We'll work forward with Golden Voice, the city of Indio. One of the things that has been really nice is working with the city of Indio and their police department. They actually have in their public safety campus and their dispatch center that we have actually installed two workstations for them. And so we'll be training their staff and hopefully get them up to speed for the event in October, where we will get to see it happen again for the festival, which is called Head Trip, by the way. Looked it up. I want to make sure I got that right. And so the relationship with the city of Indio is good because there's a back and forth communication and we're trying to figure out how we can support them, how they can work with us. So the communication has been much better. And again, as we do debriefs with the past festival and start planning for October, I'm sure there will be a lot more that will be panned out. And with that, I'm gonna go ahead and offer a few words from Chief Tolley. He's been very supportive with our program.
Thank you very much, Chris. Chairman, committee members, I stand before you today as the chief of the city of Indio. I just want to say the partnership with CV Sync has been quite interesting. We've had our challenges in many, many ways, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute here. But you have to understand what the festivals bring. We bring together 14 different law enforcement agencies to facilitate this event. It affects every one of your communities for 3 weeks, if not more. I go to the city of La Quinta, the city of Coachella, and talk to their people on what they need in order to facilitate the traffic in and around their community specifically. One of the main things is the traffic comes in through the 10, and as they come, whether they come a week early or a couple weeks early, they're entering the valley and they are starting to prepare for the festivals. So I work with CHP in Banning, Beaumont. I use the Inland Valley Division to have officers, CHP officers, come into the event as well. So I use many, many people. I use the Sheriff's Department and the DA's office to facilitate this. We did this all manually for many, many years. And it just like Chris said, we would dispatch officers and deputies to intersections to clear up these traffic congestion areas or points. And we're using radio communication. Today, with phase two, we have video on-site intersections we can see on cameras all over the city, all over your cities, all over the valley. And so we do use cell phone information real time. And so we know based on the entertainer when the community or when their people are coming into the valley or when they're leaving your city, Palm Springs, Palm Desert, other areas, taking buses and moving towards the city of Indio into the polo grounds. So we definitely adjust our traffic units, our traffic teams. What we don't see is if those people are not using the apps or their cell phones in a way that we can see them, we have the CV Sync, which sees them real time, and we can make those adjustments real time. One of the most interesting things, and I saw Chris many years ago at the Palm Desert, his headquarters there, and watched what he was doing with the Parabas Open and with golf tournaments and many events throughout the valley. And I was managing the festivals. I asked Chris, hey, do you think this is possible? He says, we have no cameras over there. They were still in phase one. I said, when are you getting them here? And let's work together when you get here, because it affects all of us. It's a tremendous asset. It's really interesting watching engineers and traffic officers and deputies try to communicate together to solve this problem. I could tell you if you have officers and deputies working traffic, you're getting about a 60% efficiency. You watch engineers working on traffic, they're getting about the same 60%. But when you bring them together and you get them communicating to each other, it is amazing. If you know anything, yes, last year was our second year. Year number two of engineers and officers working together to solve the traffic problem. It was amazing. They still don't understand each other completely. But what they're doing is they're utilizing their knowledge, their experience to solve the problem. I have to tell you, I got no complaints last year. I got no accolades last year. Everybody was, I think, on balance, pleased with what they experienced. And I think it's going to get better. I just think the program is very innovative, very progressive. I think that the continued work between police and engineers to solve this traffic problem will continue to get better. Everybody has hotels, they have short-term rentals, they have a number of other ways in which the festival goers stay and spend time in your communities. When they come to the city of Indio, they're using many different modes of transportation. We're looking forward to working with CV Sync and CVAG on the next challenge, which is e-bikes. And also with your cities as well, with the events going on in and around this major event that's going on. In the city of Indio, we had 11 temporary use permits along with the festivals. Amazing. We were not able to do that before and manage traffic before. So we not only handle the festival, but we also handle all those additional events. And you have those same or similar events in your communities as well. So this is such a valuable tool. I can't say enough. I want to thank you all for your vision and your insight to this this project. Thank you to the engineers. Thank you to CVAC.
Well, thank you for that report, Mr. Gunderson, as well as our chief. Truly, ever since I've met you, you've always been very respectful, very honest, very on point with folks, no matter what community they're from. So I just want to thank you as a supervisor, but as well as a resident of Coachella and having to drive those streets all the time.
Thank you, Chairman.
This is informational only, but is there any questions by any my colleagues here? All right, great. Seeing none.
Thank you.
Item number six is informational. Item number seven, there is no report. Understanding, Mr. Ramirez is not on. Is there any public comments?
No, Chair.
All right. Announcements. Next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, September 28th, 2026 at 4 p.m. The Coachella Water District, and you know where that is already. Next meeting of the General Assembly will be held on Monday, June 29th, 2026 here at Panasonic Springs Casino, 6 p.m. Thank you, everyone. And Chairman Mike, thank you so much. And this meeting is now adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.